You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Constellation Field. This is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Constellation Field in Sugarland ahead of the Space Cowboys matchup tonight. Spencer Arrighetti on the bump. Arrighetti's been brilliant in his first two starts. Imagine we'll see him with the Astros at some point this year. Let's go out to the HRNP guest line. Joining us now, our friend Corby Craig from BetUS.com. Let us know everything that's been going on in college basketball. Corby, what was your what were your main takeaways from last weekend? Sweet 16, Elite Eight matchups.
Yeah, it seems like the talk of the town is Zach Edey, how hard he is to stop, and for good reason. I mean, this guy is an absolute tank. I think all of us combined on this phone call couldn't stop him from scoring if we had the fate of the world on hand. So he's been great. We've kind of seen the cream of the crop rise to the top. This UConn team is dominant as one we've seen. And I'm excited for this final weekend of March, wrapping up the best tournament, the best season of all of sports.
I mean, let's look at it right from the jump on the team that's been the most dominant, and that is UConn. And you take a look at what they've been able to do and how they've just been able to put everybody to bed quickly. Are we looking at the fact that if Alabama's got a chance, they're going to have to rely on their three ball? Otherwise, we could be seeing another double-digit victory for the Huskies?
Yeah, it seems like the market is expecting this to be a double-digit victory. We see 12 now, which I think is kind of crazy. You hit the point on UConn being dominant, and they have been. But what do they dominate in? It's kind of this defensive pressure in the mid to low post. Klingon is a great defender, and he's raised his drive stock considerably. But if you watch Alabama, they don't drive the basketball, really. They're getting fast break layups, or they're shooting three. So I'm not sure that UConn's scheme is going to work. Also, UConn runs a really complex offense, one that's hard to schedule and train for in 2 days, basically. Now you give NATO a coach who's great a week heading into the Final Four. I think this is a spot where Alabama, if they're hitting their shots, has a pretty decent chance. Like, we see this line at 12. UConn played Northwestern, and that line was 11.5. So I think there's just too much love for this UConn team. They are great. Inevitably, I do think they win pretty easily, but I think 12 is, we're cutting it a little close there.
Well, what's fascinating to me as well, being joined by Corby Craig on the HRMP guest line from BetUS.com, what's interesting to me when we look at Alabama is that they kind of subscribe to the idea of modern basketball offensively when it's like the three true results, three-pointer in the paint, get to the free throw line. I was looking at their shot chart the other day from what they do offensively. They do not believe in the mid-range jumpers, which is what NBA teams have kind of evolved to. How much do you think that plays in the college game?
Yeah, it's an analytic standpoint and makes a lot of sense. Like, why shoot an 18-foot shot when you shoot a 2-foot shot if they're worth the same amount of points? And NATO's had great success with that thing from an analytic standpoint. I actually come from an analytic background, so I love it. I think that it plays well. The issue is sometimes they get a little too analytical and they'll shoot shots with players that probably shouldn't shoot those shots. Like, we saw for quite some time, Grant Nelson shooting corner threes. And on paper, it looks like a good shot, but Grant Nelson's not a corner three-point shooter. They've made those changes. That's why they're in the Final Four. But I do think at the end of the day, if you play the analytics game, it's kind of like in football, we're watching this happen as well. It's no fun. No one wants to root for the right play. Everybody wants to root for kick the field goal or kick the punt. And analytics are saying go for it on 4th and 6. It just feels weird, but I do think inevitably it is the right play from a math standpoint.
If we are going to kind of see that spread come into play and see Alabama having a fighting chance to make it a single-digit game, are you expecting them to have to be consistent with the three ball? Are you expecting that obviously they're going to have to share the wealth? I think Sears has really looked good in this tournament. But, I mean, what's your outlook on just other things about that game?
Yeah, they're definitely going to have to hit the three ball. More importantly, they're going to have to feed their better players. The issue we saw with Illinois is they kind of got set in this idea of, like, Terrence Shannon's being pressed and double-teamed it sometimes. Let's just stop giving him the ball. Like, if y'all want to cover our best guy, we have other ways to beat you, which obviously they didn't. Domas tried to play a one-man game, and we saw a 30-0 run in that game, which is one of the craziest things I've seen. Alabama just has to spread the ball. Spread and find the players that allow them to play the basketball they want to play. And if you force those guys into doing things that they're not comfortable doing, you're going to lose this game. by 20 plus, and that's what UConn's really good at doing. They like forcing somebody like Domas to try to post up a defender when in all actuality he wants to be a point guard. So an interesting spot. UConn, by far the best team that I've seen in the nation. But I think there's two really interesting matchups here in UConn, Bama, and Purdue, NC State.
It's crazy the respect that UConn's getting from the odds makers too. Like UConn's playing an Alabama team who's a 4 seed, really good talent. They're an 11.5 point favorite. Then you have the other side where Purdue, another 1 seed, was kind of listed in the same conversation. UConn, Purdue, Houston, top 3 teams throughout the entire regular season. They're playing an 11 seed. Sure, NC State's incredibly hot. Purdue's favored by 2 points less than UConn's favored against, I think, a better team.
Yeah, it feels crazy. I fully agree with you. I bet Bama plus 12. This is just a UConn, like, see the stars. Everyone's starting to buy high on this team. Like I said, we saw Northwestern literally the same line 3 weeks ago. And is Northwestern better than Alabama, or are they even close to Alabama? They shouldn't be. But on the other side, I think the NC State game's an interesting one. It is one where you're going to get a matchup that I think 9 points honestly might not be enough, which is crazy to say with the backing that NC State has had to get to this point.
I look at this and I'm curious, just from your perspective, we know what Edie can do, but Purdue and you know everybody else is going to have to be acutely aware of this NC State team that's gotten red hot, and with Horn and of course Burns, who's everybody's favorite player in this tournament, they're going to have their hands full on the other end. It's going to be interesting to see what wins out, because obviously Edie has the size and the reach, but boy, Burns has been able to have his way and back down on just about anybody that's tried to get in his way.
Yeah, DJ Burns, I talked about this on the show earlier today, but DJ Burns has quickly become the nation's favorite child of basketball, and it's hilarious to see. He's been on podcasts, he's been making his celebrity tour, and I think it's great. I think it's great for basketball to have a guy that's as lovable. Like, you see him truly enjoying basketball on the court. But I will say, and I kind of brought up that I think they have a really good matchup here. I don't think DJ Burns is going to guard Zach Edey, and I think that's where everyone continues to get kind of worried about this game. Is 6'7" DJ Burns going to be able to guard 7'3" Zach Edey? And the case is every single time, no. But they have a guy in Diarra who's 6'10". They have Middlebrook who's 6'10". And then DJ Burns in the help side, backside, which he's a high IQ basketball player. I think that he will make the right reads. I think they have enough bodies to throw at him. Like, we go look at Tennessee game. Tennessee had to play a true freshman who had basically never played all season because they got in foul trouble and they didn't have big men. That's not the case of NC State. They have an abundance of big men on the bench. And they can throw every body that they want at Zach Edey. They also have, you brought his name up to attention, but DJ Horn is one of the scrappier guards you'll see in the nation. And the big issue that I have with guarding Purdue is everyone has tried to guard Zach Edey, which is great. Like, obviously you're going to have to, but you can't let somebody just throw the ball to him open. Like they've given Brayden Smith the ability just to toss the ball like me and you were throwing catch. And, of course you're going to not be able to stop Zach Edey once that happens. I think DJ Horn is a really good matchup to those guards, make that pass a lot harder. He's just so feisty at all times. And if you make that pass harder and you make somebody else in Purdue beat you, I'm not sure that they can.
Corby Craig, BetUS. Tell us what we want to hear, Corby. If Jamal Shedd plays in the final 26.5 minutes against Duke, in which they lost by 3, is Houston one of these final 4 teams?
We talked about this opening weekend, but I had Houston futures at 20-1. I think Houston was the team who could beat Purdue. I talked about that you have to be able to force guards to make tough passes, and we've seen Houston do that all year. I think Houston's in the Final Four. They beat Purdue in a game where they don't have the size, but they have the physicality to push Zach Edey around. And then you get an amazing matchup in UConn versus Houston, a style that wants to play slow, rugged, and a UConn team go again. I think Klingon, though he looks great, is kind of soft, and Houston loves to pick on those soft guys. So an unfortunate injury. I absolutely hate it. It's the worst thing you can see in sports, especially when it's the heart of your team, somebody like Shedd. It made me upset to see, and especially against the team that they were playing against. You know, listen, if you're going to lose your school going down, the one school you don't want to see your school lose to is Duke, ever in history. So it made it just a little bit worse.
Thanks, Corby. We appreciate you putting the salt in the wound there a little. I'm still very sports sad about this, but we appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the Final Four, Corby.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it.
Corby Craig of BetUS. Great guest. Great having him throughout the NCAA tournament, even if he kicked me while I was down there a little bit. But he's right. He's right about that. All right, let's get to the Stephon Diggs news. The Texans have torn up his contract, basically. They've all made it a one-year prove-it deal. They've thrown the guarantees into the first year. Stephon Diggs can be a free agent. He will be a free agent after this season. Do we like it? Do we hate it? You tell us. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.